Revelation chapter 1. The book of Revelation chapter 1. I'm supposed to have a helper tonight, but he's not at his post of duty yet. Just got a lot of scriptures I want to read tonight, and I just don't feel like flipping through them. So many, and so Brother Jason's going to help me. So just ignore him. Whenever it comes to him reading a passage of scripture, he's just going to give old pastor a little hand tonight. I want to say thank you for all of you that's here tonight visiting. Appreciate and love you very much. It's good to see James Lee with us tonight. And it's good to have Dan back with us tonight. Is he over there somewhere? There he is. Such a blessing to have him in the house of God tonight. I also want to ask you to be sure and pray for Brother Harrison. He's in the hospital in Zephyr Hills with some stomach trouble. They're just trying to find out what's wrong with him. Just kind of investigative work. And so he needs prayer. And I ask you to pray for him. I didn't get a chance to go by and see him. I didn't find out till about 2:30 or 3 today. And I was just so swamped I couldn't get there. And so if anybody can throughout this week, if you can go for Brother Lamb and say, listen, we're here, we love you. Brother Lamb told us we needed to come and see you. I'd appreciate it if you do that for me. Be my messenger and make sure they know we're praying for them. Of course, I've called them and we'll be calling them, but it makes a difference when you go up there and you touch them and lay hands on them. All right, chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, if you have that, say amen. Verse 1, the Bible said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now, I just want to preach a very simple message tonight. We're not going to deviate far from what we preached Sunday night. I want to preach on a revelation of Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hands and pray for us tonight? Father, we love you. That you would touch us. That you would move tonight, God. Help us, Lord. Change us tonight. Father, I pray for a great anointing to come into this house. Anoint us as we preach this gospel, Jesus. Father, we're leaning upon your everlasting arms tonight. Amen. The church says amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. How many knows tonight that we need a revelation of Jesus Christ? When we think and hear the word revelation, we think about the book of Revelation. We immediately start thinking about the Great Tribulation. We think about the rapture. At least I do. It doesn't really matter how you believe, when we're leaving or whatever. But there's something about the word revelation that makes your mind immediately go to that end time scene there. And the plagues and we think about the seven horses. We think about the trumpets. We think about the seven vials. And we think about death. And we think about the Antichrist. We think about the false prophet. We think about the beast. And all the things that start running through our mind whenever we begin to talk about Revelation. And I want to read to you a few verses tonight. But, as we read here, this book should have actually just been called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. King James scholars, they did the best they could, and I believe the King James Bible is the greatest on the planet. There's nothing any greater. This is the Word of God. But it wasn't really a revelation of St. John the Divine. It was a revelation of Jesus Christ. And the way I feel tonight is we need more than just to hear a revelation from Jesus. We actually need to get a revelation of who He really is. Amen. I wish you'd help me preach tonight, if the Lord will help me. I may not need your help too much, but I'd like to have your help at least in the beginning, all right? The Bible said in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And in verse 12, he says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of the death. I mean, this world out there has painted us a picture of a limp-wristed, effeminate sissy that we call Jesus. But I have read to you right here in the Word of God, he was no limp-wristed, effeminate sissy, but he was the most powerful man that's ever lived, amen. Need to get a vision of who Jesus Christ really is. We live in an hour that we desperately need a revelation of Jesus Christ. Need a revelation of the cross of Calvary. We need to see him hanging on the cross of Calvary. We need to see Golgotha's brow and the blood dripping off his feet. We need to see the blood dripping down his brow. And need to see him with his hands nailed to a cross, whipping and conquering death and taking out hell. And when he's come out of there, he came out with resurrection power. We need a vision of Jesus Christ. Need a fresh vision of Jesus Christ. And if we got that vision, we'd do as John would do. We'd fall at his feet as dead men and say, woe is me, as Isaiah did. Amen. I need God's help tonight. I really do. Church, we need to look up. I haven't been able to get it off my heart since Sunday school. We need to look up. The Word of God said in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Not looking unto Dustin Damrell, not looking unto our pastor, but looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Not looking unto the preacher man, not looking unto the Sunday school teacher, but looking unto him that's perfect, he that's been tried at all points, and yet without sin, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. As we talk, I'm going to repeat a few things tonight, and I'm going to act like I'm not, and so if you hear something you've heard before, don't worry about it. But I remember when Ananias was told by God to go down and talk to Saul, lay hands on him, that he may receive his sight, receive the Holy Ghost. One of the first things that Ananias told Saul was that you may receive your sight. And when I further examined that phrase, he was basically saying that you're going to have the capacity to look up. That's what the word actually means. It means look up. You're going to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's going to cause you to look up. You're going to be stoned. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be pickled a night and a day in the salt water of the deep. You're going to be among false brethren. You're going to be in journeyings often. You're going to be in fastings often. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be naked. You're going to be thirsty. You're going to suffer many things. One place he said, I have the beasts of Ephesus to contend with. He says, Paul, you're going to have the capacity, the uncanny ability, that when you are in trouble, instead of looking at the trial, to look up. Look up. Amen. Read to me Psalms 5:3, Brother Jason.
O Lord, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up.
I was surprised at how many places in the Word of God that we are instructed to look up. I didn't just come to preach tonight, I come to talk to you. Because God has laid a burden on my heart for some of the people in this house tonight. I want you to hear what the Bible says in Mark 8:22-25. I'll go there, Brother Jason. I'll read it myself. Chapter 8 of the book of Mark 20-25. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up twice. He looked up and he laid hands on him again, and Jesus made him. You know what he's saying? He was had his head down, and Jesus literally got him by the chin and said, "You need to look up to me. What do you see?" He said, "I see men as trees walking." Wrong answer. He should have said, "I see the Son of God." But when he was seeing men, Jesus said, "I better touch him again to change his sight from men walking as trees unto my face and my countenance." Say amen, somebody. What do you see tonight? If you see men, you need to have your eyes touched again. And if you got to, may the Lord reach His hand down and grab you by the chin and lift your face up and make you see Him. Amen. What are you looking at tonight? What is it that's consuming your life right now? What is it that makes you wonder and bite your fingernails and have so much curiosity and confusion, and you can't get the victory in God because of this and because of that? And you said, "God, touch me in revival," but you're still seeing men. I come to tell you tonight that you need another touch. You need another touch of heaven. Jesus said, there's going to be wars. Rumors of wars. There's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquakes and pestilences. He talked about the weather. Said it's going to be chaotic. Said there's going to be many things that are going to happen. They're going to persecute you. And he just went on and on down the line. He began to tell us all the things, the signs of the times that are going to happen. He basically said there's going to be chaos. There's going to be anarchy. There's going to be craziness everywhere you look. And what did Jesus tell us to do? Well, He told us in Luke 21 and 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, He said, then look up. Then look up. Then your, He said, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Help us, Holy Ghost. The worse it gets, Brother Corey, we need to look up tonight. When you hear of wars, rumors of wars, I mean, how many knows that everywhere you turn right now there's a war? I mean, Israel and Iran's on the brink of what looks like a nuclear disaster. We're here, we're fighting Iraq, we're fighting Afghanistan, fighting the Taliban, fighting our own selves, and fighting everybody we feel like fighting, and everybody's fighting everybody else. And Jesus said, when you see all these things happen, you need to change your look. You need to change your vision from what you're seeing around you to that one great and high holy God that is above you and will help you. Look up. I said, look up tonight. He's trying to help us. Look up. I will lift mine eyes to the hills. I will look up to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Read to me Psalms 40 and 12.
For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me.
I want you to hold that right there. I'm going to get you to read that next verse. David says what some of us say. It's so chaotic, it's so messed up, and things are so terrible that I can't look up, Brother Lamb. I can't look up. I can't look up, Brother Lamb. I'm trying, but everything around me, my job and the bills and the work and sickness and my children, and it just seems like everything's falling apart, and my marriage and my wife and my husband, and it seems like everything is going to pot. And David says, I cannot look up. That's what he said with his mouth. What's the next verse say?
Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Amen. You're not getting this tonight. He said, I can't look up. The same time he was saying, I can't look up, he was looking up and saying, Lord, I need your help. It's one thing to say you can't look up, but it's another thing when you're walking around all the time with your head hung down. I don't care how many times you tell me you can't look up, as long as you're looking up and saying, Jesus, I can't look up. Jesus, I can't look up. But our problem is we're not looking up and crying unto Jesus. We're walking around and we're being consumed by the things of this life. I need to preach tonight. I really do. Now listen. God cannot hide, cannot be hidden. Satan cannot hide God, Sister Scott. He's too big. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. God cannot rightly, remember Brother Jared, He cannot take, Satan cannot take God and hide Him behind His back so you can't see Him. God's too big. If He tried to do that, He would just poke out and around Him and over top of Him. You cannot hide God. And so if Satan can hide God from us, but yet he don't want us to see God, what's he got to do? He's got to blind our eyes. Amen. The Bible said his scales fell off of Saul's eyes because Satan didn't want Saul to see Jesus. He didn't want him to see him. He can't hide God. And so the best thing he can do next is to distort your vision of Christ. You're looking in a mirror. You don't have to put anything black on there. What happens if I take a handful of water and slap it on the mirror? I mean, water's transparent. You can almost see through it. But even water will distort your vision. And what you're trying to see, you won't really be able to see like you should. And it'll look all contorted and distorted because the enemy, he can't hide God, but he can sure enough blind your eyes and put scales over your eyes. And the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not. Have you got that open? Lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine in their hearts, I believe, very close. He's talking to the lost. But answer me a question. How come we are blinded? It disturbs me as a pastor. God been helping me today and yesterday. I'm telling you, yesterday God restored my vision. Pastor been looking at some of you. My vision was just getting a little blurry. God got a hold of me yesterday. He says, you're looking at the wrong one, son. You need to look up. Help me tonight, Holy Ghost. Scales. If you can't see Jesus, you're in trouble. Amen. I got a lot to preach tonight. My heart is just so full tonight. I want to get done. I really do. Peter sitting in a boat with the apostles and the storm is upon the sea and everything is chaotic and they're trying to bail the water out and they're trying as frantically as they can and basically they know they're going to die. They know they're going to die. They know they're going to sink and the boat's going under because these men have been, some of these men were fishermen. I mean, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they knew what this was like. And they knew they were in trouble, Sister Tina. And so basically they were just doing what they can before they die. They were just waiting for the death to come. They were just waiting to go down. But they saw Jesus walking on the water. Now, their vision was distorted because they said, is that an apparition? Or is this a spirit walking unto us? But old loudmouth, impulsive Peter said, hey, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come unto you. And I like the way Jesus takes away the distortion with one word. He says, come. Come. That's all he said. And Peter began to walk on the water. Now, here's the point that I want to make to you. As long as he was looking at Jesus, he was walking on the water. But when his vision got distorted and he began to look at the storm, what he was walking on then became a consuming force and pulled him down. Amen. That's why one week you can walk on some of this stuff. And the next week you're here crying and whimpering around and asking for letting to pray for you because the same thing you was walking on last week is now pulling you under. It ain't got a thing to do with the storm. It's got nothing to do with the water. It's got nothing to do with Brother Lamb. It's got to do with your vision has been changed from Christ to the water to the storm. Hallelujah. Amen. You ever felt that way? Walk on something this week, you're shouting, hallelujah. I mean, you're herking, jerking, and Honolulu, and happy, and praise the Lord. And the next week, oh God, what happened? What happened? You've lost your vision. I come to preach on vision tonight, a revelation of Jesus Christ, a true vision, a real vision, something fixed and engraved in your mind. That's why I believe in reading the Word of God so much. That's why I believe in carrying a pocket testament. You boys that's working out there on a job site, if you can't carry a big 66 gauge, you need to have a pocket knife everywhere you go. Read it till the pages fall out. Read it till you got to get another one and you bankrupt Gideon's. I mean, read it and read it and read it. Why, brother? So you memorize scripture? Not necessarily. So you can get a vision of Christ in your mind. You may not be able to recall a verse, but if you can remember the volume, the content, and the spirit of what you're reading, and realize that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, that the God of that Bible will come on the scene and help you, you'll be alright. We have lost our vision of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, Pastor Carroll, we preached so splendid on getting a grip on life. I mean, getting a grip. What was he really saying in essence? He didn't just come out and say it. But he said, instead of clocking in and punching out, and that's all you're worried about, instead of just worrying about the bills and worrying about the trouble, get your eyes on Jesus, because that's really all that matters. That's really all that matters. Read to me Psalms 123 and 1.
Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens.
I'll read it again.
Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, lift I up my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens.
Amen. You've got to look up. There's no two ways around. I want to read to you here Isaiah 40:26. Ain't this gospel good, saints of God? You still with me tonight? Chapter 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. Lift up your eyes on high. If you don't get nothing, get this. Lift up your eyes on high. You see, you're looking around, but you're not going to find God down here. You're looking for God in money. You're looking for God in a marriage. You're looking for God in a child and a husband and a wife. You're looking in the wrong place. I said, you're looking in the wrong place. You can't find God in Pastor Lamb. Pastor Lamb's got God, but I'm just as prone to mess up as you are. But if you lift up your eyes on high, you'll find Him that's created everything. Amen. Lift. I want to read the rest of this. It's good. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name for the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth. I mean, if you find God in me, you better find it looking up. You better find it looking up. Because when Brother Lamb falls, God never falls. When Brother Green stumbles, God never stumbles. And if you get your eyes on man, He's going to touch you again. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm just going to back up. I'm not scared to back up a little bit here. Brother Jared, I'm not telling you that you can't follow me as I follow Christ. But I'm telling you that you can have confidence in me. But you put your faith in God. Church, we got to be transparent. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's not a mirror, it's a window. Jason Thinkle, you should be a window. When you're at Burger King working or wherever life takes you, when they see you, they shouldn't see you. They should look through you and see the cross of Calvary. Our problem is we are so full of self and so full of flesh and so full of the things that we desire. When they look at us, they get a distorted view of what Christ really is. And they don't even know who Jesus really is. That's why they say, well, a God of love wouldn't send nobody to hell. Because they got that philosophy, looking through people that didn't explain to them what a just God really means. When I say God is just, that means when you stand before Him, He's going to judge you black or white. When a tree falls, so shall it be. Amen. We need scales removed from our eyes. We have got to look up. As I was pondering on this message, I was sitting in my office. I said, God, speak to me. How can we come out of a 2-week revival and some still be distorted? Oh, He spoke to me, Brother Green. He took my mind immediately to those two disciples walking to Emmaus. Come on, Brother Johnson. I'll get Brother Corey. He's got some younger limbs. Two disciples, Brother Corey, they're talking. The crucifixion has just happened. And they're crying, they're weeping, and they're saying, I thought that was Him. I really did. I thought He was the one. I need somebody to say, home, Brother Isaacs. You be those two disciples. We thought that was Him. And somebody else came on the scene. And He walked in the midst of them. He said, why is your heart so heavy? And they said, have you not heard that Jesus was crucified? We thought it was Him. And this man said, but didn't the Scripture say that He should suffer? And they kept walking. And this man began to expound the Word of God to them. And began to preach to them the Word of God. Said Christ. He began to teach Christ to them. He went to their house. And they sat down at the table together. And He's still talking to them. He's eating with them. He's breaking bread with them. And they did not know that Jesus was the one walking with them.
Come on.
Vision. That's why we can have a 2-week revival and folk come out crying and say, where's God? He's walking beside
come on,
you.
Come on.
God help me tonight. That's why. Oh, God help us tonight. That's why we say, God, where are you? He said, I'm sitting at your table. I'm walking with you. I'm talking to you, but you won't open your eyes. I'm trying to tell you, it's me, but all you see is all this mess. All you see is the crucifixion. All you see is the Roman soldiers. All you see is the garments. All you see being cast in lots for. God help us. Read Luke 24:13-16. God, would you help us tonight?
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 84 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, they should not know Him.
Talking about Him, but they didn't know Him. Singing about Him, but they didn't know Him. Playing music, but they didn't know Him. Telling the children about Him, they don't know Him. Don't know Him for the Lord. Don't know Him. Say, let's pray, but you don't even know Him because your eyes are blinded.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Oh, help me tonight, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Heart's on fire tonight. I feel it in my spirit stirring deep. I am so weary with children of God walking around like they're playing second fiddle. But God said you should be the head and not the tail and above only and not beneath. Help us, Holy Ghost, tonight. So we need an example. What does it mean to really be focused? I'm going to show you what focus is. Read to me, Brother Jason, John 19:11. I'm going to read to you focus.
Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except that were given me from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin.
That's focus.
Amen.
Do you understand what's happening right here? His back is bleeding. Josephus said his inwards were exposed. His bowels were hanging out. He had a crown of thorns on his head. They took a reed and smote the crown of thorns. His face was full of blood and sweat and tears, and he could barely see. And Pilate said, don't you know that I can release you? And Jesus was so focused on Calvary, he said, you ain't got no power over me. I'm doing what I'm doing because I've got vision. If anybody had a right He could have called for presently 12 legions, more than 12 legions of angels, but He was too focused. He was too focused on you. He was too focused on the mission at hand to deviate. He could have got off that cross. He could have got away from that crucifixion. He was focused. It doesn't matter what you go through. He was focused on the Father. Can anybody tell me where He got the focus at? Somebody tell me. Come on, help me. Where did He get that focus at? He got in the garden of weeping. In the garden of the crushing. He got in the garden of Gethsemane weeping before the Father. Not mine, but Thine will be done. He didn't get it down there eating and drinking and being merry. He got it praying until His sweat became as great drops of blood. He got His focus that when He left the garden of Gethsemane and they bound Him hand and foot, He said, "You can do whatever you want to, but I've got focus. I've got a vision of the Father." He had every right to look at the pain. He had every right to look at His own people crucifying Him. He had every right to look at everything going on around Him. But He was so busy looking to the Father. He said, "Pilate, you ain't got no power over me. Only thing you can do to me what God the Father lets you do. You ain't got no power over me." It's because He wasn't the one crucifying Jesus. It wasn't the Romans crucifying Jesus. It was His great love for every person in this house tonight. It was His love for you. Romans 14 and 2. "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." It's a sin to have your eyes on anything but Jesus. I want some of you to listen to me real close right here. Some of you worry wars, worried all the time, worried about this, worried about that.
Come on, brother, come on.
When you feel your heart worrying, it's a sin.
Amen.
You need to repent.
Right.
Some of you, I'm just telling you, I love you tonight. I love you with all my heart. I don't care. We'll talk all night long. We'll talk. And I can tell you what to do and what you need to do and what you need to say and where you need to go and how high you need to jump and all that. But if you keep on looking at the problem at hand, if you keep looking around you, all you're doing is having a lack of faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so you're looking around and trying to find something that you can put your hands on, something that you can see, and that's not faith in whatsoever. It's not a faith that's sin. Can't get your eyes off the problem. Carry them bills around in your pocket all the time. Pull them out and look and see if it's still the same. Come to church. Drag that luggage in here. Fall upon an altar and pray to God looking at your problems. You know what? When they went down there to Canaan, 12 of them, 12 spies, 10 of them came back and said, "We were in our own sight as grasshoppers." In their sight too. How do they know? They never talked to nobody down there. They never talked to them giants. They said, "We were like grasshoppers in their sight." They didn't have no idea. But that was how they perceived themselves. "We're grasshoppers." Two of them came back and said, "You know what? We're going to whoop them up. We're going to take them and they're going to be bread for us." One of them looked at the problem through God. The other looked at God through their problem. They saw God through the giants and they said, "Man, they're big." But Joshua and Caleb looked at the problem through God and got a real clear vision. They said, "Let's go up and take this place. Let's go take it. Let's go take it." They were still giants and they were still grasshoppers in their sight. But when you look through God, you'll realize that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Amen. "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Read to me Revelation 1, 12 and 13.
"And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle."
He said, "I turned to see." Well, I'm by no means a scholar, no Greek, Hebrew. I barely can't speak English. I know more Spanish than I do Greek and Hebrew. And I don't know no Spanish. But I knew when I read that and I turned to see, I thought about that word repent. I said, don't the word repent mean turn? Don't that word repent mean 180 degree turn literally in the Greek? I found out 68 times in the Bible that Hebrew word shub is, I'm sure it's probably not the way it's pronounced, but 65 times it was translated turn. 3 times it was translated repent. He could have said, I repented to see. Let me show you what this verse of Scripture means to me tonight. Let me show you what John was saying. And I repented to see the voice that spake with me. I could do this and not do no harm to the text. I repented. I turned. I repented to see the voice that spake with me. And being repented, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And being repented, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Being repented, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. In the midst of the 7 candlesticks, 1. His focus wasn't on the candlesticks. I saw 1 like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden kirtle. Some of you need to repent. I know you don't want me to tell you that. I know you want me to just shout. Let's run. We might do that tonight. Right now you need to repent for looking at anything besides Jesus. Let me tell you why you can't see Jesus, because you ain't repented yet. And I repented to see. Cause and effect. I'm not just repenting to be repenting because it's what I always do every time I mess up. He said, I'm repenting for a reason. I'm turning for a reason. I'm turning so I can see. I'm turning, Sister Janita, so I can see something. I'm seeing everything else, but I'm turning. I'm repenting because I got a reason. Some of you come to the altar and repent because you know you messed up in your mind and you know that's the thing to do in your mind, but you're still not seeing Jesus because your focus is wrong. When you repent or when you turn, it should be to get a clearer vision of Jesus Christ. I need to close tonight. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? I'd like to preach this for a few more moments. Give me Hebrews 2:2-9, brother.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man.
Read those first 4 words again. But we see Jesus. Not the problem, but we see Jesus. We do got a lot of bills, but we see Jesus. I know there's folk out there that don't want the church to go on, but we see Jesus. I know my daughter's getting married, but I see Jesus. I know it's hard out there on the work site, and I know sometimes it takes you down, but we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. What are you seeing tonight? But he's just taking it for granted that all Christians see Jesus. Paul's just throwing us in there collectively, but who's he talking about? He's talking about all of us. He's saying, we see Jesus. In troubles and trials and problems and tribulation, but don't fear, because we see Jesus. When death tries to strangle us, it's okay, because we see Jesus. When enemy tries to strangle you, it's okay. It's all right. But we see Jesus. But what's wrong when we're not seeing Jesus? What's wrong with some of us here tonight that we're seeing anything and everything but Jesus? And we're crying to Jesus through our problem instead of getting on top of the water and walking and keeping our eyes on Jesus. We are being consumed by things that God never intended us to be consumed by. We'll hear from God again when we see Jesus. We'll have revival again when we see Jesus. We'll see our sick healed again when we see Jesus. We'll see the demoniac delivered when we see Jesus. We'll see our marriages healed when we see Jesus. We'll see our children in the house of God when we see Jesus. We'll see things add up when we see Jesus. But as long as you're looking at the storm, your life is going to be nothing but a storm. But if you'll get your eyes on Jesus, it'll be full of glory. It'll be joy unspeakable. If you'll get your eyes on Jesus. I want to close tonight. Read to me Acts 7:55.
But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father of God.
Read that again, brother.
But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
If he wasn't in Sunday school, he's talking about Stephen. What is the situation? Is he in the Bahamas, sitting on the beach drinking iced tea? No, he's not. He's standing there with chunks bitten out of his flesh. He's standing there in the midst of the Sanhedrin court who are picking up stones and they're stoning him to death. And they're lying on him and they're ostracizing him. They have vilified him. The Bible said that Stephen looked up. I'm looking up. And what did he see in the midst of trouble? He said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Stand across this house. Amen. How can you do it, Stephen? I want to talk to, I know the answer. I'd like to talk to him. How can you be stoned to death? I mean, they hit him with rocks and pow. And it was knocking chunks of skin off. Hit him in the nose. It broke his nose. Hit him in the eye. It may have tore his eye. I don't know. It was gruesome. It was horrible. Stephen, how can you look up in the midst of all this trouble while they're biting on you and they're gnashing on you with their teeth? How can you look up? And he says, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost. I got your answer tonight. I got your answer. If I'm talking to you and you're one of them that can't get your eyes focused on Jesus, let me give you your problem. You're not full of the Holy Ghost tonight. I don't care if you spoke in tongues all day long. If your eyes aren't on Jesus, you need to go back to this altar and get full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. We're lying to the people, preachers. We're making them think that once you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're always full. But I'm telling you right now, these folks in this house right now, you're not full of God. You're not full of the Holy Ghost. Because if you're full of the Holy Ghost, it makes your chin look up. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, He reaches down and grabs the hold of your face and says, look up. Look up. The Holy Ghost will make you look up. Would you lift your hands across the house? What do you see tonight? What did you come in here tonight seeing? These daddies in this house that need to get full of the Holy Ghost. He said, well, Lamb, I got baptized. I didn't say get baptized. I said, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost. Because if you was full of the Holy Ghost, you'd be in the house of God with your family every time you had a chance. These mamas in this house need to get full of the Holy Ghost. Because if you was really full of the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be spouting off to that husband all the time. You wouldn't be screaming and yelling at your children all the time. If you was really full of the Holy Ghost, you'd be looking up. You'd be looking up, Sister Lamb, and you wouldn't look around you. You'd be looking up. You'd be looking up, and it wouldn't matter who tried to pull on you. It wouldn't matter what they tried to do to you, because I don't see you anyway. Because I don't hear you anyway. All I hear is Jesus. All I see is Jesus. And it doesn't matter who lies on me. I can't hear you because I'm seeing Jesus. It doesn't matter what they say to me, how many lies they tell. I can't see you anyhow. Amen. Husbands in this house need to be full of the Holy Ghost. The reason I say it is because if you was full of the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't talk to her like you do. That's right. You treat her kindly. It's funny, you can talk to everybody good but her. It's funny, somebody else cuss you out and you can bite your tongue and walk away, but she says something even slightly to you. You got everything and you want to say to her and you just tell her how you think about it. You're not full of the Holy Ghost. You're not full of the Holy Ghost. You're not full of the Holy Ghost. Folks that are full of the Holy Ghost, they're looking up. I'm 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 looking up. I don't have time for the devil.
Amen.
We need to quit lying to people saying we're full of the Holy Ghost when we're not. I said we need to quit lying to people. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, but I can't get my eyes on Jesus long enough to keep the victory for 2 days. I got the victory tonight. And I ain't boasting, I'm just telling you the facts about it. You can have victory tonight. I'm not some supernatural somebody. I'm a man just like you. But I want to tell you something. If you want the victory, you're going to have to do more than pray 2 minutes a day. You're going to have to do more than read your Bible every 14 weeks. You're going to have to get the Word of God in your heart. You're going to have to pray every single day, whether you feel like praying or whether you don't feel like praying. And don't tell me you can't change. You can change. Anybody can change. Anybody can make themselves better through Jesus Christ.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Don't tell me you can't do no better. I know you can. I'm on the wall tonight, and that's all right. I like being up here. I've just been watching. I've been observing. I've been noticing things. And I'm telling you, my heart's not pleased tonight with what I'm seeing. I'm not pleased tonight watching our people drag in and drag out and drag in and drag out. And they say, what's wrong with me? It's because if you was looking at Jesus, you'd be shouting. You'd be leaping. And they say, why is she shouting with all the trouble? I'm not shouting about the trouble. I'm shouting because I'm saved. I'm shouting because I got the blood. I'm shouting because I got the Holy Ghost. I'm shouting because I got the Word of God. I'm shouting because of this done. We've been may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. That's why I'm shouting. That's why I'm leaping. Wow. Amen. Somebody shout glory. Well, I got somebody's number tonight. Holy Ghost done work me over real good. Yesterday I was trying to have family day. I couldn't have to, had to sneak away from Sister Lamb when she wasn't looking. I came over to my office just to type up some notes that God was burning my heart with. All day long I was walking around saying, God, give me my vision back. God, give me my vision back. I'm tired of looking at God's miracle mission. I want to look at Jesus again. I'm going to tell you the difference. Brother, when I'm looking at Jesus, I want them to talk about me. Say, talk about me. Come on. Say something real nasty about me. Lie on me. Because the more you lie on me, the higher I'm going to get in Jesus. Come on. Persecute me. For Jesus' name. Say something real bad about me. Tell a lie on me. When I'm looking at Jesus, that's what I do. When I'm looking at Jesus, I stand up on the altar and say, devil, bring it on. Bring it on. But when I start looking at people, when I start looking at things, when I start looking at the issues, I get consumed and my life just starts spiraling down. I got to quit preaching tonight. Amen. We need to lift our hands tonight and ask the Lord to help us right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I might as well just go ahead and make everybody else mad tonight too while I'm up here. We got men in this house that thinks their sole responsibility is to put bread on the table. And you think because you're doing that, you're doing your responsibility. It's not. You're not even doing part of your responsibility. God called the men to be the head of their home. The head spiritually. The head financially. That woman ain't going to never lead me. Never. I'm too proud. I'm too proud. She ain't going to outpray me. She ain't going to get up earlier than me. She's not going to go to bed later than me. I'm going to get up before her. I'm going to go to bed after her. She is not going to outpray me. No. When my children think about praying, they're going to see Mama praying. But they're going to say, my daddy was a leader of my home, a spiritual leader. Because if she's leading me, it's all out of whack. She's got a hold of my hand and pulling me. I'm a lot bigger than her. I'm going to run on top of her. And it's unnatural. But God didn't equip that woman to do that. He equipped a man to be the man of God. Talk about being a man. I'm a man. No, you're a sissy. You ain't got the guts to get on your knees and pray. You ain't got the guts to fight the devil. You ain't got the guts to lead your family in prayer. Anybody can punch a clock and make $1,000. But it takes a man of, let's say, I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to pray anyway. I got to quit. And so our sons are suffering. Men like Brother Dustin, they got to get saved and learn everything over. Because there wasn't a daddy in the house to teach the Word of God around the table. Men like me spent the first 4 years of my life just figuring out that the blood of Jesus saves you. Because I didn't have a daddy to sit me down. I had a mama trying to be a daddy and a mom because my daddy died when I was 2 and had 4 daddies by the time I was 11. And she didn't know who was coming or what was going. And she tried to do her best. But a mom was only equipped to do so much. And we want to fuss at them. And we want to blame them because they're not leading the house. My God, son, you don't want her to leave the house. If she leaves the house is going to go down. God help us. If this church ever goes over, it's going to go over because the men in this church become men. They step up to the plate and say, you know, I'm going to quit blaming my wife. I'm going to quit blaming my children. I'm going to quit blaming the pastor. I'm going to quit blaming everybody. I'm going to look at that mirror. I'm going to get the Windex. I'm going to clean it off real good. I'm going to see how ugly I really am. Amen. And so, what's going to happen, Daddy, is them children's going to pass you up. And you're going to be trying to lead your children, but they're going to be out there in front of you, running the pack.
Come on, bro. Come on.
Let me tell you something. Children aren't equipped to lead the home either. It's us, Brother Corey. God didn't put it in that woman to lead my home. I thank God for a good wife. I thank God for a wife that says, you lead, you lead, you lead, you lead, you lead, you be the head. I don't never have to wrestle it out of her hands. But you know what my beautiful wife told me one time? She said, if you gave it to me, I'm just like any other woman, I probably would take it. She was just being honest. She would never do that. I would never give it to her. But she was being honest. She said, the nature of a woman is to take it and to run with it. Let me tell you why. Because women are go-getters. Women will cook, women will clean, women will change the diapers, they'll do this, they'll do that. They'll do everything that needs to be done. And when they look across that home and they see something else that needs to be done, they say, you know what, he ain't going to do it, so I'm going to try to do it. And then they jump into a place that's not their place, and they make a shipwreck out of it. Yeah. Put me in the house with Ariel and Eden for 2 hours, I'm pulling my hair out. I'm not equipped, Brother Lot. I'm not equipped. Although I've been doing it lately. I've been letting Sister Lam go shopping, and I've been babysitting. I ain't going to tell y'all, trying to tell you that I wait till it's nap time. But I do it anyway. I've been doing better. I've been doing better. I'm not equipped. Come on now. Somebody come to the piano, please, to share this somebody. I've got to wind this thing down. I've got a real burden tonight for you. And I love you with all my heart. We need a revelation of Jesus. Amen. It'd be better for us to live in a one-room house and drive an old station wagon with 400 million miles on it. And being here in the altars with our family and being part of the church. That's a lot better than having big things. I ain't against that. You ain't never going to hear me preach against having nice things. I'm glad God's blessed us. But there's some in this house right now, you know you're not where you need to be spiritually. And you know you're not leading your family like you need to. It's time to make some changes. I'd like to ask you to bow your heads. Just to play softly, sister. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm talking to you young men. Bow your heads. Bow your head. Close your eyes. We can do this. What did you come in here looking at? Just be honest with yourself. You don't have any other choice but be honest with God, because He already knows. Did you come in here looking at the problems and how hard it would be to solve them? Or did you come in here looking at the problem solver? We need a revelation of Jesus Christ. The reason some of you are in so much trouble right now, because you got your eyes on the things around you. Got yourself in a mess and then said, God, what do I do? You should have asked Him in the first place. Brothers, these children need you. They need praying. They need you to be in the altars with them. Those kind of things will last a lot longer than the four-wheelers will. New cars and new vehicles. Some of the young people in this church just struggle so bad, trying to keep the victory. It's no problem to keep victory when you got your eyes on Jesus. When you got your eyes on the victor. With every head bowed, I want to ask you a question. It's a quick lifting of the hand. I'm not asking for no chill bump. Come to the altar for 3 minutes and walk away and talk about God help. I'm talking about a real genuine change tonight. Is God dealing with your heart? Lift your hand real quick and put it right down. Hands all across the house. You know what's sad? God's trying to deal. Let me rephrase that. God don't try to do nothing. He's either dealing with you or He's not. I think the problem is He's dealing with some of us, but we're so clogged up and our vision is so blurry that we can't even see. Amen. I want us to come to this altar tonight. And I want us to quit looking at our great God through our problems. I want us to come to this altar and say, Lord, I need You to establish my vision. I need You to give me a focus. I've lost sight of the most important thing. I've lost sight. Lord, would You restore my vision tonight? Would You restore my vision? Pray 4 or 5 dry minutes and back up. Not changed, not moved. That's not God's will.